In just a moment, I'm going to ask my good friend Ani to come up here, and she's going to share her testimony. Ani was actually approached me before the school year even began, and she said, "Hey, I want to share my testimony with the students. I think it's something that they need to hear about how God can transform lives and how he continues to transform lives." We had Michelle Moore who shared her testimony. We've got Betsy and Luke coming up here in a couple weeks, and I'm sure a great number more of you guys will want to do that in the months ahead. And so we're going to take some time. We're going to listen to Ani share her testimony with us. And then once she is done, we will get into our time of teaching. Let me pray for Ani real quick. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for my dear sister who I love so much, who's invested so much in the lives of this youth group, has been a blessing to the leaders, has been a blessing to me personally by her investment in my daughter as well. So Lord, I just pray that you be with her tonight. Allow her to speak from her heart about your transforming work in her life. Amen.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Ani Lantrip. I'm a senior, and I got to share my testimony. I think this is my third time now, which is kind of crazy. And a lot of people would say, oh, a lot of mistakes were made to get you right here. But actually, I think this is God's plan, because through this time, I've given much more thought to my testimony. I've seen a lot of things that I personally want to change in me, and it's brought me to go to like mentors and people to invest in my life to really put me in a good direction. And even though I know it's easy for us to give up on our walk and just be like, oh, we're good enough, this has truly pushed me to be where I'm at today and to continue to push myself to grow in Christ. I'm only doing what it says in Psalm 66, verse 16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." Like most of you, I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed, unlike a lot of people, to have 8 siblings and 2 incredible parents. I knew a lot about the Bible growing up. My parents made sure I knew all the facts, but I wasn't able to wrap my head around what a relationship with Christ would look like. That just wasn't something that we talked a lot about as a family. As a young child, we moved churches a lot. There was never one consistently that I was able to call home. And it was really hard as a kid to make friends, since I was really passionate and really often an angry child. But when I was still young, my dad decided to start a church home and just do it himself. The world around me was really small, since I was homeschooled and I was in a home church, and I really didn't know what anything looked like outside of that. When I got a little bit older, there became a lot of problems in my family. My sister got pregnant out of wedlock with her boyfriend, and as an 11-year-old, that is kind of the hardest thing to process, what that looks like moving forward. My family really broke from that. I was left really angry and unsure of what was happening in my life. The world I knew around me was crashing, and reality just wasn't a place I liked at all. We left our home church in search of a new one, and we found LifePoint. When I first started going to church here, though, I was a really angry child. I felt unloved and like no one understood me, so I made myself kind of isolated. I didn't understand why we left everything I knew, or my sister had to leave my home, or my family felt so broken. I just really didn't understand any of it. As a kid, I wasn't taught the importance of emotions or their role at all. I only learned how to shut them off, because in my mind, crying was stupid and pointless, and anger was just a mistake. So I just tucked the pain away and never really healed from that. I was never close with my dad personally, but after this, it was like he became a different person. It definitely really affected my family, and even though we all dealt with the breaking of our family differently, my dad definitely took it the hardest. As I got into middle school, I started getting really involved with youth ministry. I was able to just scrape by because I knew a lot about God. I just didn't really know him personally, but in my head that was the same thing, so I didn't see any reason to change. Until I read Matthew 7, 22 through 23, which says, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" That's a super terrifying passage to read. And I just remember reading it and shutting my Bible, because I knew if people doing great works couldn't know Christ, then there was just no way I could, because I was never good enough. I was never doing the right things. I just did what maybe looked right. In eighth grade year, I was hit with a lot of the pain that I buried. I started feeling just this pit of emptiness inside of me. I was never happy, and nothing I did could change that. I couldn't seem to cry it away. It just wasn't that type of problem. I've learned that you can't run away from things that you don't deal with properly, and I had been running for a long time. I had felt abandoned, forgotten, and like no one cared about me. I started getting depressed and began early stages of self-harming. Since I shut off everything and everyone and bottled up my anger and pain, it was just my way of crying, of releasing the pent-up emotions inside of me. It's a way to feel something in numbness, and it was just my cry for help. It grew with time into something I definitely couldn't control, and at first it was easy for me to say, like, I can just stop whenever I want to. This isn't a problem. But freshman year came, and I couldn't go a day without running to cut my skin. I wanted somebody to care about me so badly. I would search for attention in strangers, and it was really horrible because that ruined so many relationships that could have been perfectly fine if I would have just gone about them the right way. I just wanted somebody to care about me so badly, and I was so scared of being noticed and found out that I never went to people that could truly help me. I felt like a fraud in my home, in my youth groups, and in my church. I figured as long as I flew under the radar and as long as I went unnoticed, I'd be okay. Like I said, I looked for fulfillment in relationships, but that was never fixing the underlying problems. I ended up hurting and using a lot of people poorly. People that really only wanted to help me but never could really try to because they had no idea how. I would shut them out, and then they'd feel horrible, and then they'd realize I just actually used them for my own selfishness. I can say firsthand it hurts to lose people even when you're the one pushing them away. This went on, and with it came nights of restless sleep. I would have nightmares, so I couldn't even find relief and rest. It would have continued, but on the spring retreat of my freshman year, I found someone who not really only noticed me, but cared. And that led to my parents finding out. That was a really huge blessing in disguise, and although it didn't fix everything immediately, it was definitely a turning point in my life. I was really told not to talk about it because my parents didn't know what to do with me. And since we were so new to the church, it could look really bad in my family. And other than that, it wasn't discussed much. So even though my parents kind of put it off to the side, my sisters never did. I was not an easy person to deal with. Like I said, I was really shut out. And I just would be really angry and hurt and unpredictable and really against anything that would help me. My heart was really cold. It was really bitter, and bitter towards my parents for not caring about me, towards my dad for not pursuing a relationship with me. And because of all these things, I felt entitled to feel this way. I felt entitled to feel broken, almost like I had earned and deserved it. My sisters, though, they never gave up on me. Christ never gave up on me. He used them to reach me and to save me from my own destruction. I can't really stress this enough, but it took months of me being in the worst places of my life than I've ever been. They'd just pray over me and cry over me and just talk to me and ask me to change, but I wouldn't do it. I had no idea what that meant to be a Christian, and I had no idea how to change my life because everything was so broken and wrecked. I could never be good enough for him, so why would I even try? And not only that, but I was so scared to give up parts of myself that I wanted to hold on to, because the pain felt comforting to me, and I felt like this was exactly where I was supposed to be, even though it's so wrong. I tried so hard sometimes to read my Bible and pray, but it didn't do anything at all, and my heart was still the same. I just remember being so exhausted. I was never well-rested physically. Mentally, my head would never shut up. Emotionally, I was so busted, and spiritually, I was just lost. I wanted everything that my sisters had and all that they talked about, but I wasn't ready to give up the things that I was holding on to. One night during a Bible study, I just broke down crying. I tried to explain why, and I couldn't put it into words. I was broken, and I was so tired of being broken. I just wanted everything to be over, and I needed Christ. Those girls prayed over me for what seemed like hours, and that night will remain in my memory forever. I just remember praying, like, God, just change me. I don't want to be this anymore. And I was different after that. Not to say I was perfect all of a sudden or that I didn't struggle with myself. I just knew what I wanted or what I needed. I found peace. I found joy. I found a desire to change and to know God, not just about him, but to truly know him. And I got baptized 2 months later. Since then, it's been a really long journey. Not to say that I'm all of a sudden there, but I can safely say I don't recognize the person I was 2 years ago. I now am able to understand Galatians 2:20 when it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know it's really easy to think that everybody in youth group is perfect, that they've just always known Christ, and that you're the only one that doesn't have it all figured out. But I know exactly what it's like to put on a mask and just come here and be here for a good time. But that's not worth it in the end. And if you were anywhere like me and you're saying, like, I can't change, I don't even want to change, I don't know where to start today. Because the longer you wait, the harder it is to come back. And the longer you wait, it's not like tomorrow is going to be any different and all of a sudden those sins aren't going to matter, because they do. And they have consequences. And you have to deal with that every day. But through it all, there are so many people that want to help you, that want to point you back towards Christ. And even just being able to share my testimony this third time, I've been able to go back and realize there are so many things that I've been doing wrong in my life. And to seek help from people who are just going to point me back to Christ, even though I am saved, I'm a Christian, I still mess up. So I have people that I place in my life specifically to help me to just make sure that I'm never back where I was, because you don't need to just read your Bible when times are bad, because you're not going to want to do it then. You need to build habits and spiritual disciplines and just start today. It's not as hard as you would think to just pick up your Bible, open up a word of prayer, and just say, God, change me. Thank you so much.